Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 164 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Monday, March 31st, recorded on April 1st, Tuesday, not Monday, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and this is the fourth game club where we play Binary Domain, developed by the Yakuza team, I believe, and published by Sega. The reason why I picked Binary Domain is because I remember playing the demo so long ago and being surprised by not so much that it was different in terms of gameplay, but just the way you interacted with your fellow teammates and the story that was going on. And there was also a nice bit of humor, but I really liked the way you could interact with your teammates. You can, you know, say something and then they'll either be happy with you or they'll be pissed. And if you wanted to, you could use voice commands, and I didn't do that with this because I have a headset, don't feel like using it, don't want to use the Kinect, I just avoided that. But I remember, and I could be completely wrong, I remember people talking about this game when it first came out, and the NPC, your fellow squad mates, the computer-controlled characters, they would comment and react if you swore, so that, you know, saying the F word, saying fuck, would actually elicit a reaction from your fellow teammates. And not like a reaction that was, oh, you said something. And I was like, no, you said this. You said something bad. You're bad. You're very bad boy. Very bad boy. Or girl, because you could be a girl and play this game, but you can only play as a guy in the game. So you're always a bad boy. Bad man. Because he's a man. He's not a boy, right? So anyway, let's get on to the game. We were supposed to play the first two chapters of the game. Some people didn't really pay attention. They just kept going because they apparently missed where it told them that chapter 3 was starting and went through chapter 4. So good on you, lunchbox. But let's get to the game. So you start off with just two people, you and your fellow American partner. You play as Dan, who is known as the Survivor, and then you have your partner Roy, who is known as Big Bo or something. I think it's Big Bo, not Big Boy. And he is sort of like, in a way, the Coltrane in this very Gears of War-like, just in terms of gameplay, third-person shooter. You know, it has cover mechanic and all that, and it has sort of the same aesthetic in this more very heavy gray tones and not a lot of color. Just in that respect, but not, it doesn't really play so much like Gears of War, other than it is a third-person cover shooter. Gears of War is a better playing game. I would say the gameplay in Binary Domain is the weakest part, but I'll get to that a little bit later. So you're going on this mission, and you're just going around killing robots and stuff, and it's like, well, whatever. And there's a swimming section that was kind of annoying. I'm like, oh man, this is not looking good. And there are they throw in the little parts where you can interact with your teammate, and I just kind of didn't care because I didn't really care about Big Bo. And I remember the demo and just remember having more characters and being able to choose who I would take on a mission with me, take on, you know, this mission you were playing, which ones I could take, and then the other ones would go off on another way. And I just kind of wanted to get through it and get it over with. But it was fine. It was fun. And then after you finally end up getting to this part where you are, I can't remember if you were fighting the Grand Lancer at that point, and it's chasing you around, and no, I don't think it was a Grand Lancer yet, the boss fight, the first boss fight, just a random big robot, and you end up falling through this glass, and like end up in a bathhouse, and I swear, I don't know if it is for sure, I'm sure it's not for sure, but it looked pretty damn close to E. Honda's level from Street Fighter. It looked pretty damn close. Even the artwork on the wall behind the bathhouse and all that, I'm like, did I just fall into the Street Fighter game or something? What's going on? And then I was trying to think, was this game, there's anything with Capcom involved in this game? It was Sega, right? So I'm sure it's not the actual bathhouse. Even if it was Capcom, I'm sure it wouldn't be that, but it looked a lot like it. And then you meet the rest of your, well, not the rest, because there's one member who's still missing, who I'm hoping comes really soon at the beginning of Chapter 3. You meet both Rachel and Charles, who are the MI6 Brits. They are a couple of squaddies. And then you also meet Faye, who is the Asian sniper, who both Big Bo and both Dan and Roy, I don't want to call him the survivor, just look at her like, damn. And she's fine looking or whatever. But well, I will say that I do like all the characters. I think they're all interesting, though. Rachel is a bit... What I like about Faye is that she's just basically more feminine and still an ass-kicker, whereas Rachel is like, because I'm a woman who kicks ass, I have to be all butchy. And that kind of gets annoying at times. I'm pretty sure she's not, but I would be super annoyed if she was a lesbian, too. It's like, oh, I have to be butchy and a lesbian. That kind of annoys me when that's always the case, where it's like, oh, we're going to have a tough chick, but she's going to be a butchy lesbian. Because to be a tough chick, you have to be a butchy lesbian. That's not the case, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. There hasn't been much talk about sexual orientation or anything, so I'm just bringing up things that don't need to be brought up. But the what you're known as the Rust team, the Rust crew, and you're basically trying to figure out, because there are these robots, they're called Hollow Children, and they're basically robots that are able to pass as humans, and they're basically agreed at a convention to not allow those, that those are illegal. And then one comes up at some headquarters in Detroit, and he comes up there and he's like starting trouble. And the thing about it is that he does not know he's a robot. He's unaware of this. And they all immediately basically assume, are very sure that it is this guy in Japan who is doing this, because there's nobody else who could, you know, manage to create that kind of tech, that advanced of a robot. So it's your mission to go on and get to this guy and just get down to all this crap, because this is not good. It's illegal and you got to stop it. So you're off doing all that. And the missions they're not particularly memorable. Just in terms of the story, I don't think the story is particularly memorable. But I think the missions are not, they're fun and have some nice set pieces that are not overly, they're not so strict. I'll just say what they are. They're forgiving. I didn't ever have a situation where I was just thrown into a set piece, a moment where I had to do something before something else happens, or to click something before, you know, in a short time limit. So I never had to restart something because there was a quick time event that screwed everything up. There aren't quick time events, at least that I have experienced. There's just one part where I had to make a jump and then just press a button when it was in this humongous margin. So it's basically, if you don't click it while it's in there, then you just weren't even paying attention. You didn't even have your hand on the controller. And the set pieces are pretty fun. They look good when they happen, and they're actually fun to play. And I mean, there are some things that are just kind of annoying, or not so much annoying, it's just kind of really tedious and longer than I would have wanted. Like the part where you are right in the beginning, you're sliding down this building and you just have to keep going, you know, trying to avoid obstacles and objects so you don't get hit and hurt. And I was like, oh gosh, let's get this over with. But then there's a part where I can't remember if it was a building that was falling down or if a robot hit something, but things start crashing around you and you have to run and get to shelter. And you're moving a little bit and then control will be taken away as it zooms in, and it'll just do a very, very well done cinematic shot as you're watching stuff crash down and you almost get hit and you just have to keep going, and it's a lot of fun, and it's nice to look at. And I'm saying "and" a lot, and it's annoying me, so I hope it's not annoying you. But yeah, the set pieces that are in the game aren't that bad. There's a really long, it's not a motorboat, but like a jet ski, I think, section that was just kind of, this isn't fun, because you're not attacking anyone. You occasionally get to run over robots that are standing in the water, but for the most part, you're just occasionally avoiding certain points where debris falls from a bridge or something like that. But that was kind of not annoying. I keep wanting to say annoying, but it's not annoying. It's just sort of, okay, this is going on a bit too long. It's more than I needed, and it's not helping out anyone. It's not hard. It's just, let's get to the point already. But I am enjoying the game so far. The boss fights have been pretty good so far. The Grand Lancer, he was in the demo. You jump on him at the first time, or that might have been the second. There's two times where you meet him, and I'm trying to remember which is which. Richie Rich. I don't know why I just thought of Richie Rich. But it's a fun little boss battle where you just jump on him, and then you occasionally have to move the analog stick in a specific direction to keep your balance on him, and then you go back to shooting him. And it was really simple, but it was fun. And then there's a spider you fight later on where you want to blow off the guards it has, protecting its more sensitive mechanics. And then you destroy all those and you blow that thing up. And that was fun, and it wasn't too hard. That's what I like about the game. I'm playing on the hardest difficulty that is available at the start, because you have to play it on that to unlock the harder difficulty, the actual hardest one. And it hasn't been too hard so far, so I like that about the game. There is the whole, like with Gears of War, but you have a limited amount. You have to use med packs to heal yourself if you are downed. So if you're like that, you will have to use med packs, or you can have one of your partners heal you if they have med packs available. In which case, they will ask you, oh, you're looking like you're hurt. Do you need some help? Just let me know. Don't try and do everything yourself. So you can be strategic in the respect of like thinking, do I want to save my med packs for when I really need them and use my computer ones, or do I want to let them keep theirs so that when they're down, I don't have to worry about going over to them and healing them. They can just heal themselves. But yeah, it's been fun so far. I'm really excited and hoping he comes in soon, because I remember him from the demo, but there is one squad mate who is still missing. I don't know if there are any more than six, because there are five right now. But I loved the robot in the demo, and I just want to have him in my party already, because I think he was French, and he was the funniest character in the whole demo, and I want to hear his horrible, stupid jokes and just enjoy his company. And I've been using Faye and Charles. I like having Faye in my group to have somebody who can shoot long distance. And then Charles I just have because I don't want to have Roy. I don't want his stereotypicalness in my group. And I like British accents, so I like to have him, like having Charles in my group. I don't want to have Rachel, because she just has like the angriest, meanest face in the world. But yeah, Binary Domain, it's pretty good. And also there's something with the story about the fact that the water is rising, so there aren't that many livable areas, and you have the upper and lower levels and typical stuff. But I'm enjoying it so far. I can't think of really anything else important. I mean, there is like online co-op. Haven't messed with that. I'm wondering if that means that other people will be playing as other characters, because you can upgrade your weapons and you can upgrade the other character's weapons, but I don't feel like I haven't done that, because I don't feel like wasting my money on them, because I don't think it would actually benefit them or improve them that much. But maybe that's just me. But yeah, for next week, continue on, finish chapters 3 and 4. If you've already done that, you're free to do nothing. But before I go, I will read off John's email, aka Lunchbox, because he is the one person who's very vocal. I know other people play because they tell me about it, but then they don't give me any meat to mention on the show. But here's what John has to say, and this is how he sounds. No, I'm not going to do a voice for him. So far, I love everything about this damn game. It's not perfect by any means, but it's so fun. There is a lot of little things it does right. It reminds me of Bulletstorm with score and even gameplay, but adds a little bit of depth with the changing of the team and being able to upgrade the team members. I like how you don't have to change left hand, right hand, it just seems to know when to do it. The story is not great in an action movie kind of way, but the big set pieces are fun. I'm playing on casual without aim assist, and that's a decent enough challenge. I'm smitten with this game. So I think, you know, there are a lot of similar points that we agree on, especially the set pieces. I think the set pieces are just really well done, and that is something that a lot of games screw up, where they just kind of either take away too much of the control from you or have them just be overly, not so much difficult, but make them more so quick time event heavy. But in Binary Domain, the set pieces, they take away control from you for very short moments of time just so you are allowed to get a better view and get this more cinematic shot, and then they immediately give you back control and throw you back in there. The one thing that does annoy me has to do with the trust system with your fellow partners and how it works. Just because, you know, you're talking to them and how you react, that will, you know, they'll either go positive or negative their reaction to it, if you're kind of a douche or not. I'm not sure if any of them will actually like you being douchey, but whatever. That's not my problem. I'm fine with the whole talking and interaction system affecting trust and all that. What I don't like is that if you shoot, you know, friendly fire, if you shoot one of your teammates, that will piss them off. And I don't have anything against them being pissed off because you shot them. Why I find that to be a problem is because multiple times, and I remember it happening to me in the demo, and it's happened to me quite a few times in the actual game, my teammates just run in front of me while I'm shooting. And then they get pissed off at me. And the trust goes down a little bit. And I feel like I'm being punished because the AI is stupid. It is too stupid to realize, hey, he's shooting. Maybe I should go behind him or something, or duck, or do anything other than just run right in front of him while he's shooting his gun. And that pisses me off because I want to build up trust with these characters. But then I feel like it's not a huge, it doesn't like make it drop halfway or anything, but I just feel like any progress I'm making, I'm chipping away at a little bit every time because I occasionally accidentally shoot them because they're stupid. But other than that, I really like the game. Yeah, I'm excited to play some more of it. And I may do more of that. I do want to apologize. I can't remember if I apologized right at the beginning. I apologize that this episode has gone up a day late. And hopefully I get it up before I have to leave. Family friend passed away. There's been 2 deaths in the past week. One was local, so it wasn't a big thing. But this one is out of town. And I was struggling to think, to decide whether or not I was going to go to the wake and funeral, because it would be a two-nighter thing. Not a two-nighter, but an overnighter. And I decided that I am. So I got to get that done. Got to get this done. There are other things going on. I was thinking a lot about it, whether or not to do it. And April 3rd is just the anniversary of my cat's passing, which is always never a great time. But yeah, let's cheer up again. Before I leave and end this episode, I do want to mention, I did not watch How I Met Your Mother. I would occasionally see maybe like 5 or 10 minutes of it here and there in random reruns, but I never actually watched the show. And I watched the last 10 minutes or whatever of the season series finale, and I laughed my ass off because I thought it was so ridiculous. But just, It is the stupidest thing to me. I maybe, and people are talking about, they basically were leading up to this the whole time from the first episode. Go back and watch it as well, or whatever. I just think it's funny that basically this entire TV show is about how he's telling his kids about how he met their dead mother, and the whole time it's really just like, hey, can I, move on with Robin? Because actually she was the love of my life the whole time. Not your dead mother. She's great and all, but I've always loved Robin. I just think it was funny because I was like, oh my God, I bet she's dead. I bet she's dead. And then she was. And then it's sort of, I don't know, I think there could have been, and maybe because it's a comedy, they want to do that, or they want to be hopeful or whatever. I don't know. I think it could have been really nice if it was had a very serious end and all that. I kind of would have enjoyed it if they had the, it's like, and then she got sick, and then they play the scene where he meets her and all that stuff, meets him, and then it ends with him looking straight at the camera, saying, "And that's how I met your mother." I was like, "Oh, this is a nice ending." And then the kids get all fucking uppity and just like, "Oh, this, what the hell kind of bullshit is this? You barely talked about the mother, blah blah blah. You were always talking about Robin. This is about Robin. You want to be with Robin." I'm like, "Why couldn't you just end it there, with the name of the show? That, it's a bit on the nose or whatever, but that was a nice, sweet ending. What's wrong with having a nice, sweet ending? Okay, nice and sweet is better than stupid attempting humor bullshit. Let's also get the two you always wanted to be together. Probably most people wanted to be together. It was just stupid, and I laughed because I thought it was so stupid. Yeah, I don't know. That's just me. When just thinking about what this whole show is about, I think a better version of this story, in a way, is the movie Definitely Maybe. So if you've never seen that and you liked How I Met Your Mother, I would highly, highly, highly recommend Definitely Maybe. It's a romantic comedy, but it is well done. I think it's also one that, I mean, I'm a fan of romantic comedies in general. No shame with that. But I think it's one that even manly men can enjoy. So yeah, I thought How I Met Your Mother series finale was just so fucking stupid and ridiculous. Whatever. But that is it for today's episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3, Instagram mkush, Xbox Live, PX Sausage, PSN, The Kush3, and Nintendo Network, whatever they call it. I'm just Pixelated Sausage. And speaking of sausage, go to pixelatedsausage.com to get everything I do and whatnot. The content will lift up again. There's been a busy few weeks and other things going on and whatnot. Content will explode into sausage bits everywhere. Yeah, that's it. Also, check out the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio at pixelatedradio.com. And if you'd like to support the site and all that stuff, you can donate to the site. There are links just in the upper right-hand corner of the site, so you can do that if you'd like. Thinking about, I keep hearing about this Pantheon site or whatever. Maybe I'll look into that and have like, oh, if I reach this amount, I'll start doing videos again and stuff like that. So I'll look into that. I don't think anyone would want anything to do with that, so probably not. And you should also check out frontburner.net. That is frontburner without the E.net. FrontBurner.net. While you're there, check out the Sprite Stuff podcast hosted by Dean Stevenson and company. You can find that on iTunes by searching for Frontburner or the Sprite Stuff. I don't know if the last episode was really good or not because I couldn't take all the fart humor at the beginning. I stopped listening. I didn't want to skip over it. I just had to stop. I couldn't take it. It's way too much. It was like a horrible Family Guy joke that they just keep going on and on and on and on. And you're like, oh my God, just stop it already and move on. And they don't. Though they do, I'm sure. There's no way it's 2 hours of fart jokes, or that would be the worst thing in the world. But I just kind of, I was like, oh, I'm done. I can't take any more of this. But the show's still great. I don't want you to not listen to it because of what I just said. Still listen to it. And of course, check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Sports Car Unleashed Podcast at scunleashed.com, and Kicking Out at 2, which you can find in iTunes. Search for Kicking Out, the at symbol, and the number 2. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great, great week. And if you're into board games and all that stuff, tabletop, card games, dice games, whatever, I think this Saturday is official tabletop day or something. So look around your local area for events and have fun, because tabletop games are fun. Fun, fun, fun. All right, that's it. I don't have anything else to say. Adios, everybody.